Good evening, everybody. You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Well, last night you heard what the feds, the Gestapo, the Nazis were doing in Lubbock, Texas. Today they were continuing another fiasco in the state of Nevada. Have you heard they've turned rustlers now? They're rustling cattle. They're stealing cattle from ranchers. And, of course, that's completely unlawful. Unconstitutional, you betcha. Just look in the Constitution where it says, you know, where it talks about that. And I'm not going to quote it to you tonight. I'm going to make you look it up. Can the feds constitutionally seize someone's property? I don't think so. But I'm going to make you look it up. I know, as a matter of fact, that they can't do it. But I'm going to make you look it up because you'll never know unless you do. But in the state of Nevada, the feds have been seizing ranchers' cattle. And they're even seizing the wrong cattle. The ranchers that they're having the beef with keep telling them that's not our cattle. That's got somebody else's brand on it. And the feds are seizing them anyway. And today they were supposed to auction them off, but they were challenged in court, and the court issued an injunction against the auction house to prevent the cattle from being auctioned off. And the feds, more or less, threw the auctioneer and the people who own the auction house out, and they took over unlawfully, illegally, without, you have to have a license to be an auctioneer, because they're so, you know, in the early days of auctioneering, there was so much crooked stuff going on, and coercion between the auctioneers and the people who put their stuff up for auction, and they had shills in the crowd that would make false bids and to drive the price up and all kinds of stuff. So auctioneering is, you know, pretty regulated. Well, the feds took over. They don't have any license. They didn't have an auctioneer, in fact. Threw the auctioneer and all the people who own the auction house out and tried to auction the cattle against the injunction from the court saying that the cattle were not to be auctioned. And a whole bunch of people showed up, and guess what, folks? Not one person bid on even one of those cattle, which is pretty amazing to me. In this age of greed and selfishness, you would have thought somebody would have showed up and bought the whole herd for $5 or something. But not one person made one bid on those cattle. Now tell me that Americans aren't waking up, because that's the only explanation for what happened there in Nevada. Because normally, some selfish, in fact, a whole bunch of selfish, me first, screw my neighbor, I'm going to steal his cows while I can and get them for almost nothing and make a big profit, would have showed up and bid on those cattle. I think people are starting to wake up and realize that what the feds can do to those guys, they can also do to everybody else. And this crap's got to stop. And I'm telling you right now, if it doesn't stop pretty soon, the war is going to come a lot quicker than anybody thinks, because people are getting fed up. Look at what's happening in Klamath. I'm sure that a lot of you have been following that story. Way back at the turn of the century, the government encouraged people to go up there and open that country and start farming. And they irrigated and made water available. And they promised those people if they would start farming and make that area productive, that the federal government would guarantee that they would have water, all the water they ever needed forever. Well, you know, they did to those farmers what they did to the Native Americans and everybody else they've ever made promises to or treaties with. They lied. Those people in Washington, D.C., they've got to be children of Satan. If there's a Satan in this world or in this universe, those people in Washington, D.C. have to be their children. Because Satan, Lucifer, is the great deceiver, the great liar, and that's all they do in Washington, D.C. is lie. They lie to each other. They lie to their family. They lie to us. They lie to the world. their promises mean nothing. And so, they've shut off the water to the farmers in Klamath, destroyed them, literally. Their crops are rotting in the field. Their whole future and the future they planned for their children and their grandchildren and great-grandchildren is down the tubes. All the money and effort and work they've invested in those farms and in their lives is gone. Gone. Why? To save some stupid fish that nobody ever heard of. And here's the real kicker, folks. Those farmers, when they irrigate their land, only use about 2% of the available water that minnow or that little fish has to swim in every year. 2%. That's it. They couldn't possibly hurt that minnow or that fish if they wanted to. It's an excuse. Once again, it's an excuse used by the environmentalists, the terrorists, the green terrorists, and the federal government in partnership, in cooperation with each other, to steal land. To steal land. Kick people off the land. Yep. I'm William Cooper, the most dangerous radio host in America. Now you know why. Tuesday night edition of the Hour of the Gun. I'm going to read some letters. Just a few. I'm not going to bore you. Read some letters from the listeners. But first, I want to remind you that we're into August. And it's already the 7th of August. And we need your donations badly. I got a call the other day from one of the people who called that night when people were really being so stupid. And trying to justify giving away our rights because we need a military or we need roads or we need an infrastructure. They're too lazy to read the Constitution and understand that Congress can get money in several different ways, all that they ever need. But they have to do it lawfully and constitutionally. They will never run out of money, believe me. And the guy said, well, I've been sending you donations every month, but since you call me stupid, I'm never going to send another donation. I said, fine, please don't listen to this broadcast anymore. I don't need donations from stupid people. I need donations from smart people that even though they may be sheeple, are learning how not to be sheeple and how to become real people and not be stupid anymore. I was stupid, folks, for most of my life. I can admit it. Why can't you? I mean, I was stupid. You have no conception of how stupid can be. I was about as stupid could get until I woke up. I looked in the mirror one day and through my tears, because it hurt to realize how stupid I'd been when I thought I was pretty upstanding, smart, intelligent, educated citizen of this country. and have spent my life serving a government that was in the process of trying to destroy us all. That hurt. I decided never to be stupid again, and never to forgive stupidity, nor accept it, nor turn my head away from it and ignore it, nor to let anybody else think that it's cool or okay to be stupid. So if that bothers you, you better find another broadcast to listen to, because I'm not in the business of radio. I don't care about ratings. I don't care if you like me or not. The only thing that I care about, and this is my mission, is to deliver a message to everybody in this country who believes in God and believes in freedom. And hopefully awaken and educate enough people to save our beloved country. That's all I care about. If you think I care, if you're telling me you're not going to listen to this program anymore, what you're going to hear from me is fine. The sooner the better. If you think I care that you're going to call me and say, I'm never sending another donation because you called me stupid when I called in, hey, what you're going to hear from me is, well, you are stupid. Not only for what you said when you called in, but now you're in complete denial and you think you're going to hurt me by saying you're not going to send another donation. Nope. The most you can do is, if enough of you hold back donations, this broadcast will go off the air and you will hurt yourselves because there's nobody else doing what I'm doing. And nobody else will rise up to take my place. Because if somebody was going to do it, they would have already done it, and I could have gone on vacation a long time ago. Because I deserve it. So for those of you who do care about this broadcast and want to keep it on the air, we need your donations for the month of August right now. Send them to HOTT, H-O-T-T. And I'm having problems making my mouth do what I want it to do again tonight. I think this is getting worse, but bear with me. HOTT, H-O-T-T, in care of 101.1 FM. That's 101.1 FM. P.O. Box 940, that's P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, that's E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925, 85925, and I'll say that again later in the broadcast. Please get your donations in now. We need them very much. I'm going to read some letters and things that I've received. I want to thank all of you who always send your donations without having to be reminded and get them in quick. And I want to thank you so much because what you're saying is that this broadcast is valuable to you. And you're telling me that I'm doing a good job. And so I appreciate that more than you will ever know. First one. It's a card, actually. So many times I think of you and thoughts become a prayer. The loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. To Bill, that God will bless and keep you within his loving care. Love, Pat. And that's Pat C. Dear friend, old friend, used to come to all the conferences. And I miss her dearly, and everybody else who used to come to the conferences that I can't see anymore. I'm trying to think of a way to get around that and be able to do it once again without having the feds try to slip a ringer in and get everybody killed, because that's what they'll do if they do it, including them. Thank you, Pat. And this one's interesting. Got a lot of accuracy in here and one big glaring error, but it comes from the heart, and it comes from an understanding of what he's been studying and reading. So here goes. Dear Bill, Having recently finished Alexander H. Stephen's monumental work, The War Between the States, I have acquired a fresh perspective on constitutional history and the events leading up to the Great War. Well, I just discovered another mistake. It was not a war between the states. It was a war between the South and the federal government. He says, I have acquired a fresh perspective on constitutional history and the events leading up to the Great War. That's a correct title, The Great War. It was a civil war. It was a great war. It was a war between the federal government and the southern states that succeeded. God, it's hard. While it may be true that South Carolina fired first on Fort Sumter, South Carolina had seceded from the Union and had reclaimed all rights to property and jurisdiction within their state. Lincoln had promised South Carolina that the Union forces would evacuate the fort, but under pressure from several northern governors, had reneged on his promise and sent reinforcements by sea. They did not fire until the ships were in sight and they realized what Lincoln had done. South Carolina and the other southern states decided to secede because several of the northern states were in violation of Article 4, Section 2, Paragraph 3, and were actually passing laws in violation of this clause. I am no racist. I do not believe in the institution of slavery. But that clause of the Constitution was inserted at the insistence of the slaveholding states as a requirement of ratification. They would otherwise not have joined the Union. All true, ladies and gentlemen. From the beginning, as you well know, there were elements within the federal government who wished, I don't know if I'm going to get through this or not, my mouth is not cooperating at all, who wished to create a strong central power. They were constantly looking for a wedge to drive into the structure of delegated powers versus state sovereignty. And it was the slavery question that raised the issue to the boiling point. Well, now I would have to disagree with that. The question that caused the secession of the southern states was not slavery, but states' rights. It was the conformity to the law, which the federal government was not about to allow, because they were being pressured by the industrial northern states to have hegemony over the South. Now, that's the truth. Slavery was never the issue. And that's the biggest mistake in this letter. Also, the South fell into a trap. The North needed, and this is me talking, the North needed an excuse to stop the southern states from succeeding. And when they refused to pull their troops from Fort Sumter and sent supplies and replenishment by sea, it was a well thought out and premeditated plan to cause the South to fire upon the North first so that they would have an excuse to go to war. And they believed from the beginning, not understanding the nature of Southerners, that the economic power of the North would ensure a quick victory. They almost lost the war because of that kind of thinking. So let me continue with his letter. I mean, this is somebody who really put a lot of thought into this. And even though he may be wrong in a couple of points, he is passionately studying this history and trying to get a hold on it. And by the way, they're still looking for a wedge to drive into the structure of delegated powers versus state sovereignty. And they're doing a good job of it. In fact, they've almost, they claim they did away with slavery. What they're trying to do is re-enslave not just blacks, but the entire human race. And they're pretty close to being successful. Thus, this is his letter again. The centralists really did not care what that wedge was, as their intent was to subjugate the states under the federal power. The Jeffersonian philosophy of government perished in that conflict. No longer were the states' people ruled by their consent, but were forced by arms and blood to remain in the Union and be subjected to the unconstitutional demands of the federal entity. All true. This was the beginning of the end of constitutional government. In the U.S., Lincoln had no constitutional authority to free the slaves, and yet he did it. Yes, he did. He didn't use constitutional authority. He used martial law, which was declared over the states which the North claimed were in rebellion. He continues, "For this, I will forever consider him one of the worst traitors to ever hold that office, not for freeing the slaves, but for unconstitutionally operating outside the confines of the law. The southern states were attempting to preserve the principles of constitutional government, and reading the Constitution of the Confederate States will reinforce this notion. I am sending Appendix A from Volume 2 of Stevens' wonderful book, The Statement of Causes for South Carolina's Secession. It is very interesting reading, as is Stevens' book. I hope that you may read it. I would send you my copy, but it is one of my most treasured volumes of my entire library. It should be read by all freedom-loving Americans because of its historical perspective, if for no other reason. It was from Stevens that I have learned that Independence Day is truly September 3rd, 1783. Thank you, Bill, for all you've done, Joey Z." Thank you, Joey, for your letter. And just remember this, just because it's written in a book, whether it's my book or Stevens' book or Lincoln's book or anybody's book, doesn't necessarily mean that it's all true. I have read the book. I read it years ago. It has a unique historical perspective. It has some fantastic little-known facts that are true. Most of the book is true, but you have to remember it was written from the perspective of someone who had an agenda to serve as an apologist for the South. And I'm not saying the South was supposed to make any apology. That's what you call someone who fights on behalf of a cause in the face of other odds. Dear Bill, I hope this letter finds you well and all that sort of thing. We are well here, but tired out from a long week. 6 days again of working 10 and 12 hours a day. The news this week was a bit slim for clippings, as it looked like so much repetition of your website news items. Even so, I think there are a few interesting items in the pile herewith just the same. Just the same. This is frustrating. Frustrating. There is certainly a ton of crap piling up all over the Kyoto Treaty BS. To believe the press, you would think that every other nation on earth had already signed on to the treaty and are harping that the United States do so as well. These green communist bastards are popping up all over the place. I do surely wish that they were green with rot, but that has not been the case so far. when people wake up, and I believe that they will, these yahoos are not going to like what they have brought about. As usual, I continue to pray for God's blessings to befall you and your family nearly every day in the hope that all will be made whole again. I believe that God has a plan for us and that we will simply have to wait to see what develops before we can know what that plan is. I am thinking that there is still much to do, and each day we just have to keep at the task and continue to believe that God is taking very good care of us as we do His bidding to the best of our ability. I don't know that we are to understand the why of all that happens, but I believe that we will know all that stuff in due time. Faith, my friend, may be the only thing we can grab onto in the storm at times, so it is important that our faith be strong. Later, Jerry from Topak. Thank you, Jerry. Jerry's a long, long time friend. Dear Bill, thank you very much for educating this 76-year-old veteran, United States Navy, 1943 to 1946. I recently discovered you on shortwave last year. Once a week, I go to the local library for computer usage and download your articles, making copies. At home, I record on tape your radio programs. This info is shared with some friends. Your playing of Enya singing the 300-year-old Quaker touched me too. As a general rule, I don't care for any vocals. I'm a serious listener of jazz instrumentals of the swing bop era, 1935 to 1965. Very little today. God bless you, Bill. Yours truly. And I can't read his writing. It looks like Ollie. P.S. I don't know if aluminum foil protects from snoopers. A lot of you send your donations in aluminum foil. I don't know if it protects from snoopers either. Well, I've got another letter here, but I am having so much trouble pronouncing words. I don't want to push this, so I'm going to open the phones and let you guys do your thing. And did you hear about what's going on in Nevada with the cattle? Phones are open, folks. Open topic. 520-333-4578. 520-333-4578. Did you go to the website and look up what happened in Lubbock, Texas? Are you even interested? I hope so. Listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper, the most dangerous radio host in America.
Okay, I called and I didn't even hear a ring. I went right on, so before I turned my radio off, I was hearing you on the phone and the radio sounded great.
Oh, that's good.
Well, listen, we had a situation in North Carolina, and I really, because of listening to you, I really thought some things out on this.
Okay. Now, before we go any further, is there any way you can put your mouth more
in? Sure, is that better?
Yeah, and talk a little bit louder if you can.
Certainly. How's that?
That's much better. Now, if you could just start over about your tale, I would appreciate it.
About 2 weeks ago, three
Okay.
I beg your pardon?
I said okay.
Oh, okay. Because, yeah, to talk, I don't hear you back, but I'll make the best of it. Sorry about the bad phone. They were naked. There was no note or anything like that. And ultimately, details have come out that these people, you know, a whole family lived on a 25-acre piece of land. There's this two natural children of the couple and one child from a previous marriage. It turns out the girl from a previous marriage, the daughter from a previous marriage, a teacher discovered bruises on her legs one time, and the DSS got involved. And it turns out this family was very afraid that the kids were going to be taken away from DSS. And it was said in the news that the home was really squalid.
Wait a minute. You mean taken away by DSS?
By DSS. Correct. They made a big brouhaha about the home, and the conditions were very squalid, that there was a lot of animal waste in and around, animals going in and out. And they also harped on the fact that there were chickens in coops that were made from pallets taken apart and made chicken coops. Now, if this was some new age wacko that took pallets apart and made chicken coops, it would have been thought of as wonderful, wouldn't it?
Well, I've got a chicken coop right out in my front yard made out of pallets.
And I called another talk show host this, and they said the same thing. They had a compost heap in a container made of pallets. So, you know, they're making it seem, oh, it's so awful that there were chickens in a coop made out of pallets.
Well, this is what these scum do now. They demonize their victims. This is exactly what they did to Joanne McGuckin.
And look how well-spoken she was, and well-dressed, and well-groomed.
And well-educated, I might add. And it turned out that none of the things that they said about the children are the dogs, are the house, are the things that they were eating, are the electricity being off for weeks and stuff. None of it was true.
And so I'm wondering if we'll ever hear anything more about this family again. It looks like it may have been a murder-suicide of one of the kids, but if so, it was because they were afraid they were going to be taken away by the DSS. And further, for whatever reasons, whatever government interference there already was, the kids had to sleep at a neighbor's house. The mother would take them there at 10 p.m. and pick them up at 6 or 7 in the morning. And another thing that's troubling and just doesn't fit, the husband works at a grocery store, and they said he was always well-groomed and well-kept. So if there's all this animal waste, how come he didn't pick up an odor of animal waste?
Well, I think that the people who live in that state and who are listening to this broadcast should start investigating on their own and find out what the truth is. And
I have a feeling unless I go up there and myself, I never will.
Well, why not?
Because, the media, I think they're going to just, I don't think they're going to cover this story.
That's not what I ask you. I ask you, why don't you or other people who are not media go and find out what the truth is? That's what I do.
You're gonna
depend on the media to tell you the truth?
Well,
they never tell the truth.
Media.
Pardon?
But I'm just saying I don't at present have the means to investigate it, or I would.
Neither do I. I don't have the means to have a radio broadcast. I don't have the means to do anything that I've done. That's why you're sending donations.
Well, that's true, and I will do so, in fact.
You see, years ago, I could have done the same thing. It's what I'm trying to... I'm not trying to pick on you. I'm trying to educate you and everybody else listening. Years ago, I could have done the same thing. I could have kept my family and me out of this whole thing just by saying what you just said to me.
I see what you're saying, and maybe that'll give me some spirit, you know, to pick up and try to find out. Though I am, in fact, editing a film I made that, although it's humorous, it shows that people can fight the New World Order and win.
That's right.
And, of course,
I've been ticking their ass.
It's fun and frivolous, but it shows that if the people I have portrayed in this film as dopey as they seem, and if they can fight it and win, then anyone can.
Well, that's true. That's what I've been trying to tell everybody about me. I'm no better than you or anybody else. I just decided that God wasn't going to smile at me if I didn't do what I was supposed to do. And when I get to where I'm going after I'm dead, I don't want to see a frown on his face. I don't want to see the gate closed. And I don't want ever to meet that lying father of all deception.
Oh, Bill Clinton?
Well, he just might be the one standing there holding the pitchfork. I don't know.
But, yeah, hopefully, I hope, if nothing else, I'll scan the newspapers from that area and see what I can find out and put out.
Well, I think all of you ought to find out what the truth is and get it to me, and I'll verify it. And if it's true, I'll air it.
And I must say, you made me think and helped me think, and I thought, hey, these puzzle pieces don't fit together. If it's so squalid, why is he neat and clean at work? Why don't they say, gee, he smells like animal waste?
Yeah, that's right.
And, oh, by the way, furthermore, the kids were homeschooled, and it seems like almost...
They
like all these tragic cases lately. The woman in Texas that drowned the children, this one, that one, the kids were homeschooled, and I'm afraid that something's happening, you know, to try to harm people that are homeschooled.
Well, I told you years ago that people who homeschool their children and their children are targeted.
Well, that's what I think this is, in part.
Well, you'll notice that woman who killed her children in Texas, if you read my book and listen to all these broadcasts, she was seeing a psychiatrist for depression, and she was given...
Prozac.
You've got it.
Yeah, in fact, I read that passage in your book recently. I happened to reread it.
Yeah, when did I write that? Back in the 80s.
Yes, good point.
And everything that I've written in that book so far has come true. Everything.
Hey, no matter how depressed or down I might get, I don't want chemicals to make me feel better. My sister and a friend of hers... were passing that Prozac like it was candy and trying to get me and other people on it, and I just wasn't going to touch it.
Well, good for you. You shouldn't touch it.
And
you should terminate any...
Too, but my sister, they were acting like, oh, well, it levels you out. Oh, you must take it, blah, blah, blah. Hey, at the time, right. I was working overnight. There's no way in hell I was going to take some mood-altering medicine when I'm working these bizarre odd hours changing shifts all the time. No way in hell.
No, that drug is dangerous, and so is anybody who's taking it. You should immediately sever your ties with those people. And you should tell them why.
Well, again, to their good sense and good credit, they quit using it, too.
Well, good.
I mean, they quit using it and try to push it.
Good. That's good.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm going to let someone else get on. I just can't believe I got on and didn't even hear the phone ring, and there I was, and... Bill, thanks for all you do.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. It's your turn to call, whoever you might be. Lines are open. Topics open. Good evening. You're on the air.
Quick question, Bill. This is Ed from Connecticut.
Hi.
You ever read any of Tom Clancy's novels?
I think I've read one or two a long time ago when he first started, because... I'm interested in some of the things that he writes about, but
yeah.
I've never read more than one or two. And I don't think I read two. I think I read one.
Well, he's very much pro-government. He's pretty much taken with power of the federal government to get things done. But, boy, he is going awful easy on the FBI these days. And from what I've seen, the FBI is a prime culprit and pissed out all the misery we're going through.
Well, it's an unconstitutional state police force. It's the American Gestapo. You read the Constitution and show me in there where they're authorized to have a state police that has jurisdiction over anybody.
Fair enough. I'm going to send you the latest big book of his, okay? Catch you later. Let somebody else get in.
Okay. Thanks for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. That's right. You know why the FBI was formed? It was not formed by Congress. See, an agency has to be formed by Congress, and it has to have constitutional authority for it to exist. It was formed by the stroke of the pen of the United States Attorney General to create an office for internal investigations of the Justice Department. This organization is as illegal, unlawful, and as unconstitutional as it gets. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Bill. My name is Brandon. I'm from Alabama.
Hi, Brandon.
I'd like to talk about the Civil War you was talking about earlier.
Sure, go ahead.
All right. I don't know if you're familiar with old Morris Lee's, but the Southern Poverty Law Firm.
Yep. You mean the pedophile, the homosexual pedophile?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
About a month ago, it was...
And I hate to say that, because that may malign some decent you know, people, some homosexuals who
keep
to their own business and don't bother anybody.
Right. But about a month ago, it was Jefferson Davis's birthday, and they were all in an uproar about the how he was a traitor and all this. But I read somewhere that secession is a constitutional right.
Anything that you can join voluntarily, you can also disjoin voluntarily. There's nothing in the Constitution that prohibits the states from seceding from the Union. And if you read the Constitution, you'll see that all the powers not granted to the federal government nor restricted to the states or to the people belong to the states and to the people. Nowhere in the document does it grant the federal government the power to keep a state from succeeding or deny the ability of any state to succeed. Nor does it say anywhere that states cannot succeed. Therefore, they can.
I guess that's why they didn't have a trial for him after the war was over, huh?
Well, they couldn't back anything up. The South had a right to do what they did, except when they fell for the trap that the North set for them and fired on Fort Sumter. If they hadn't have done that, then the war would never have occurred because the North would never have had a reason to go to war with the South.
Right. I had several family members that did fight and die in the Civil War, and I guarantee you it wasn't over slavery because these people didn't even have shoes.
Yeah. It wasn't over slavery, and that's that. You know, most of the people wouldn't have fought if it had been. And that's the truth. It was about something altogether different. I had relatives that fought on both sides.
States' rights.
That's right.
Well, Mr. Cooper, it's a privilege of talking to you, and I've been listening to your show now for a year, and I aim to send my contribution to you.
Thank you very much.
God bless you.
And you too. 520-333-4578 is the number, and thank you for calling. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello. This is Jackie calling from Tennessee.
Hi, Jackie.
And I just want to comment on something that I didn't know anything about until recently.
Uh-huh.
Regarding passports.
Yeah.
And this is from by an author named James Kent. It's called Commentaries on American Law. And it states that a passport or safe conduct is a privilege granted in war and exempting the party from the effects of its operations during the time and to the extent prescribed in the permission.
Yeah.
And in another page, they talk about it's something that is granted to, like, ambassadors and foreign subjects or whatever, which I thought was interesting. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, a lot of the things that the government requires us to do are not required at all if you're free. So like a driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
You have a right to travel on the public right-of-way, the public highway, you know, without impediments, and to operate your own private property,
mm-hmm.
which can be your own personal automobile, as long as you're not engaged in commerce. If you're engaged in commerce, especially if it's interstate commerce, then the federal government has the right to regulate that and require licenses and all kinds of other stuff. But you have to be engaged in hauling for hire,
right.
And be paid to do that. Then you're called a driver. If you're operating your own machinery, you're not a driver.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Now, when the states, they do a lot of, when they accept funds from the federal government.
Yeah, they've entered into treaties.
Right.
With the state called the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When they do that, and somebody wrote me a letter claiming that the federal government is not a state. Federal government is a state.
Right.
Okay? But it's a different kind of a state. It's a state formed by a union of sovereign states.
Mm-hmm.
And it's granted certain powers and restricted on other things. But when one state enters into an agreement with another state, that's a treaty. The Constitution forbids it. But this is how the federal government blackmails the states into doing what they want, is that they promise them money.
Right.
And the state legislatures, seeing all this money floating in front of their eyes, knowing that that will give their constituency great pleasure if they bring money into the state, they go along with it, and the stupid sheeple, not knowing anything about how things are supposed to be, they go, yay, we're going to re-elect him because he brought us more money. They don't realize that they also put chains on their ankles at the same time.
Right. So, and I don't know if you've heard, but we've been fighting a state income tax here in Tennessee, and we've been successful so far.
Oh, I've been following it right along for years. It's been going, this battle's been going on for years in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been following every moment of it. In fact, I talk about it from time to time.
Yeah. So, but thanks for everything that you're doing.
You're welcome.
All right.
Thank you for calling. Thank you for looking for the truth. I can tell that you are because you found some of it and told some of it to our listening audience. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
I've heard your story about Klamath Falls, Oregon, and the rest of that. Well, you're not the only one talking about it. Rush Limbaugh, Chuck Carter, and I've heard it from somebody else. And that water that the farmers use runs down into lowlands, and that's where the bald-headed eagle lives.
Yeah, I know.
So they want to go save this trash fish, you know, and hurt the farmers and the bald eagle and all the rest of it.
Well, they don't need to save the fish because it's not in danger. But
no.
The amount of water that the farmers are using are only 2% of the total water available for that stupid fish. So, you know, there's no way that 2% use of that water is going to destroy a fish that lives in all the rest of the 98% of the water.
But I'm glad to hear you getting the word out, too. I mean, every American needs to hear what kind of baloney is going on.
This is the third broadcast I've done on it since the beginning of the fiasco started.
Yeah. And, well, keep doing it.
So, you know, if you'd
listen
more often, you'd know that this was not the first time. 520-333-4578. And I know you all can't always listen every night, because if you're listening on shortwave, sometimes because of the propagation or solar storms or weather or whatever, you just can't get it. In that case, I recommend that you study long line antennas and proper grounding for protection against lightning and all that kind of stuff, and you'll find that you can get a lot more than you think you can if you just put a little work into it. Long line antennas don't cost hardly anything. It just requires a little work putting them up. 520-333-4578 is the number. Open topic tonight, taking your calls, and you know, all that kind of stuff. So, I'm William Cooper, the most dangerous radio host in America, according to William Jefferson. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Bill.
Yes.
Hi, Art from Connecticut.
Hi, Art.
Just a question, if I might ask you.
Sure.
When I send my donation, which I haven't done, so I'm sorry about that, check, cash, okay, or?
No, it's got to be cash or blank money orders or gold or silver coins.
Okay, just like before. Okay.
No checks.
That's the big question.
It's always.
And also, when I send it in, which will be in a couple of days, you'll get it. I'm going to send you an article in our local ultra liberal paper. There was an op-ed deal that I helped write, which I think you might enjoy, informing our local taxpayers who are right now the city's in bankruptcy, supposedly. Ours is. It was entitled "City Succumbs to Cultural Entitlements." And the effects of the welfare state are responsible for your city's downfall. And I think you might find it a little interesting, because it goes along with what you've always said. But all we got was raised eyebrows. How dare you accuse our socialist programs for our downfall? Well, I think you might enjoy that one. I'll send it in.
Yeah, send it along. If it's a good article, I'll read it on the air.
Well, you could, browse through it. Some things are worthwhile, some aren't. I understand that. Anyways, I'll let you go. I just wanted to make sure it was the way it used to always be for other things.
That's the only way it's ever going to be.
Well, I that's what I figured, because that I know you and I are the same way.
When you use banks that are members of the Federal Reserve
System, no, I don't deal with them. No.
Well, then how could you send me a check?
Well, I didn't know how you wanted it. Normally, everything I do is either cash, money order, unsigned, or give me gold or silver.
Yep.
Same as you.
Okay.
No. Thank you, Bill.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling. Yeah, when you deal with the bank as a member of the Federal Reserve System and you sign your name on that signature card, you have signed yourself over to the federal government. And you have agreed to obey all their rules and be subject to their jurisdictions and all kinds of things. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, this is Mike in Florida. Good evening there, Bill.
Hi, Mike.
Well, I haven't called you for quite a while, but one of the things that we discovered down here last year, and we're already in the courts with it, is in House Bill 1374 in 1967, they recorded the Organization of American States, and it's operating in every one of the departments of Tallahassee and even in your state today.
Yes, I know. I did a broadcast about it.
Okay, well, it originated here. And we're actually pitting another treaty against this organization in a state court in their own commercial law. We're going to see what the heck happens as far as first in time, first in line rules.
Well, good for you. I wish you all the luck in the world, but I don't think you're going to win.
Well, American Bank and Trust, et al. Versus Dallas County, it's an 83-4 case. Said it quite distinctly.
I'm not saying that you might not win because of the law. You might not win because the system is corrupt and they won't let you win.
Oh, absolutely. I understand. I'm going to be sending you a big pile of it.
See, there's a misinterpretation of Article 6 of the Constitution where they say that if the United States enters into treaties with foreign countries, if the treaty conflicts with our Constitution, the Constitution is dumped and the treaty supersedes it. And that is wrong. The Founding Fathers never intended for that to happen.
Well,
any treaty that's adopted only becomes law if it conforms to the Constitution.
Let me tell you what the remedy is that no one seems to know where to find.
I know exactly where it is.
It's in Title 50.
No, it's in the Second Amendment.
In subsection 501 through 593 of the Soldiers and Sailors Civil Relief Act of 1917.
Why?
Well, this is how they get the money out of the country. The word money in subsection 560 is still there, and it shouldn't be there because there hasn't been no money in circulation since 64. The redemption period ended in the summer of 68.
Well, that's true. That's another reason why, when the IRS tells you to pay a certain number of dollars, you couldn't pay if you wanted to.
Well,
there are no dollars in existence.
Everyone's entitled to a land patent through this, and everyone's entitled to get paid because no one's been paid any money. We've all been Rosie the Riveter.
Yeah, but you guys, when you take that stuff in the court, don't you know you're spitting in the wind? Because if they let you win, then the whole system comes unraveled, and then they owe everybody in the country and their ancestors and everybody that they've gypped out of money for centuries. And they can't allow that to happen. They're not gonna let it happen. They'll kill you first.
Well, here's the thing. I'd rather be in harmony with Deuteronomy 25:13-16 than with commandments of men.
But you're not if you're going into their courts where they don't have jurisdiction over you.
Well,
you are playing. You're playing.
You can't go in. You send your affidavit in.
Well, you can send whatever you want in. They're gonna throw it in the trash can. But let me know. Keep me informed on how you're going with that.
Well, it's actually on file with 575 pages.
Oh, there's tons of those things on file all over the country, and they haven't gone anywhere.
Bye now.
Thanks. You can't win playing their game. You can't. It's been tried by geniuses all over this country. And they either throw it in the trash, ignore it, or kill you. That's what happens. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi there, Bill.
You got about 30 seconds.
Okay, they're trying to change the national anthem in Canada. At least a small group of power-hungry feminists are, because of the reference to the words sons and patriot love. Mitchell Sharp's wife, he's a paid advisor to a dollar per year paid advisor to our prime minister, a trilateral commission member. His wife is part of a little committee that wants to change our anthem, and the word God is next.
Okay. Thanks
That's
for calling.
It. Thanks.
That's it, folks. We're out of time. Good night. God bless each and every single one of you. And don't forget to tune in tomorrow night for another edition of the only ministry of freedom in the world. In fact, the only place where you're going to hear the truth in media all the time. Good night, Andy Poo and Allison. I love you. I miss you more than you will ever know. I was baking bread this afternoon, and about 15 minutes before the broadcast, I took it out of the oven and put it on the racks to cool, and the smell is driving me wild. I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to have some hot bread with some fresh, real butter on it. Big glass of buttermilk. See you tomorrow night. You've been listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper, the most dangerous radio host in America. And now, you know why. It's the bread, man. It's the bread.